Torah should be Le'ilu Nishmas Chana Tzipora Bas Nachum Yehuda, a young woman who passed away very tragically this past week and has nobody to say Kaddish for her, so our Divrei Torah should be Le'ilu Nishmasa. The Dubna Magid has a very beautiful mushal on our Parsha, on the Pasuk that we began to describe yesterday about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, and he mentions that he's about to destroy Sodom. Hamachase ani me'Avraham asher ani oseh. Do I have a right to conceal this information from Avraham Avinu? After all, Avraham hayo yiyeh legoy gadol. The Pasuk says, Avraham Avinu is going to become the father of a great nation. So how could I not share with him? So the Dubna Magid is bothered. What do those two fragments have a connection with one another? What do I care that Avraham Avinu is going to become a great nation? Hayo yiyeh legoy gadol. And therefore, that is the justification. That is why God needs his intervention, that's why God needs his approval. What does that have to do with anything? So writes the Dubna Magid so beautifully. Mashal Abay Sochrim, he says, this can be compared to two merchants. Shahayinosim Bederech Al Odas Mischarim. They went out to a fair in a faraway village, and they left their families for a couple of weeks to do this business venture. Echad Mehem Hayatzar Verach Bashamin. One of these businessmen was a very young man. Habez, the second one, Seva Zarkabo, Baba Yamim. He was an elderly gentleman. Vahaya Bivom La'ir HaGadola. So they finally get, after this long trip, they get to the big city, they get to the fair. And Ra'u Chanuyos Mochros Begadim La'rov. They see that there are clothing stores that are selling all kinds of articles of clothing, beautiful clothing. Amar HaZakein, the elderly gentleman, says, Mama Od Kalsa Navshi Liknos Lebeni Ben Zakunim. How much I would love to buy something for my precious young child. He's the youngest kid in the house. He's spoiled. I would love to buy him something. Ezo beged no meshubach. Something that he would appreciate. Something that he would love. Avol yareisi, he says, I'm concerned. Pen lo yizdam and kim yidaso. I forgot to measure him before I left. I don't know really if this is going to fit. And therefore, I don't know if it's worth my investment. Why should I buy an article of clothing that might not be tailor-made to his measurements? Amar Hasheni, the second businessman, turns to his friend and he says, you know what? Ani ekach beis v'gimel mehem. I'll take two or three of those jackets, and I'll take two or three of those pairs of shoes, and I'll take a coat and a hat and a sweater and all kinds of articles of clothing he puts into his bag. So Amar la hazakein, his friend, the older man, turns to him and he says, "Ma tase im lo yiyu mukhsharim levanecha? What are you going to do if they don't fit? Why are you investing so much money in all these clothing? I understand you have children at home, but what if they don't fit the kids? So you can't come back next week and return them." Amar lo, he says, we are in very different situations in our lives. You only have one young child left at home. And therefore he says, im lo yiyeh kemidaso, if it's not going to fit that one child, lemi talbisheu, who are you going to give it to? It's a waste of your money. However, lo kein ani, that's not the case with me. Ki chanani elokim bekama yeladim, God has blessed me with a number of children. And after all, I'm a young man, maybe I'll have more children. So if it doesn't fit this one who's at home right now, in another year or two, it will fit the next one. And maybe it will fit my children that will come later on in my life. So for me, it's not as much of an investment. It's not so frightening for me to spend all this money buying the clothing, because after all, maybe I'm going to have somebody else in the family who it's going to be relevant for. V'han Nimshel writes the Dubna Magid, Ki chala sherpal yizbarach es avinu, Avraham Avinu alav ashalom. Everything that Avraham Avinu did so many thousands of years ago, Shamur Ladoris Habaim Acharav, that was put into the bank, that was as an investment for everything that was to come later on from his descendants, Baal Cain. And therefore, God wanted to present Avraham Avinu with opportunities to fill up that bank. God wanted to have Avraham Avinu be given that chance to daven on behalf of his children, to do various activities in his life for his children that would come many, many generations later. And therefore he says, even though Avraham Avinu was not going to be able to save Sodom, even though God knew from the outset, Avraham Avinu is going to argue and he's going to say, what do you mean? How can you destroy Lahamas Tzadikim Russia? And God's going to say, look, there are no Tzadikim, there's nothing to discuss. Even though that was all the case, God says, shouldn't I give Avraham Avinu the chance, the opportunity to daven regardless? After all, even though the tefillah is not going to work for now, it's not going to save Sodom, but he's going to have Hayo Yiyela Goy Gadol. He's going to have many children. He's going to have future generations who can use these tefillos. Maybe not for the story that we're describing now for Sodom and Amorah, it's not going to help. But somewhere down the line, his descendants and his children will be able to appreciate and take advantage of the tefillos that were offered on that occasion. And that's what the pasuk means, writes the Dubna Magid. HaMechaseh ani me'Avram, God says, am I going to hide? Am I going to conceal the information from Avram Avinu that I'm about to destroy Sodom and Amorah? After all, Avram Avinu, when he hears that, is going to go and be mispalel b'chol kocho. He's going to offer tefillah after tefillah. And even though they're not going to help for now, I'll put them in the bank for later. Hayo yiyel goy gadol. He's going to become a great person, and therefore, since he's going to have many, many generations and descendants later who can use this, I may as well give him the opportunity to offer those tefillah. Such a beautiful insight. And they say in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe that this is one of the three mishalim that the Dubna Magid said that he believed was said Beruach HaKodesh. He said this is really the pshat in the pasuk. He thought this really made a lot of sense, and it's a very beautiful interpretation. So I came across a comment of Reb Shimshon Pinkus, who has very beautiful svarim on Hashkafa. And he expands on this idea that we just mentioned. And to me, this was extremely helpful. I myself was dealing with a loss this week of somebody who I was close with. And there are times that we think when we daven for something. We daven that somebody should have a refuah. We daven. But then we watch and we see they're already at the end. And we're troubled. And we wonder to ourselves, what exactly am I supposed to daven for, number one, at this stage in life? And number two, I don't really know if my tefillah was effective, and it makes us confused, and it makes us wonder, why was I doing all of this? Why was I exerting all of this energy? What did it bring to the story? What did it change the circumstances? So writes Reb Shimshon Pinkus, and I think it's a beautiful way to describe many of the feelings that I know personally I have at certain times in life. Kol echad me'itanu, he says, Rochesh motzarim b'makolet mipam lepam. Every one of us goes to the supermarket and we purchase items that we need in a house. The easiest way to go to the supermarket and to get what you need is that we give money and we get the item. I pay them for the flour, I pay them for the sugar, I pay them for whatever it is that I need, for the diapers or for the oil, for the gas, and I get the item that I pay for. That's the easiest way to have an interaction with the supermarket or with the store. And he says, the great advantage of living life like that, of going to the supermarket, paying the money, and getting the item immediately, b'kach anu chashim, we feel that our money was well spent. I gave the money, and I see immediately what the product is that's a result of my money. Kiki balnu temura malea lekaspenu. He said, zui derech hapshuta. Ba lo nidrash mitzidenu kol imun bebala makola. We don't have to have any trust in the owner of the supermarket. When we act like that, we look at the price, we give the money, and we get what we paid for. There's no trust that's involved. It's a very simple way. But he says at the same time, when you live like that, that's a very limited way to live. Why so? Because he says, what happens when you're running by the supermarket and you happen to remember on your way home from work that I don't have this item that I need in the house, but I forgot my wallet and I can't run into the supermarket and buy it? Well, if you don't have money, you can't pay. And if you can't pay, you won't get the item that you need. So it's nice to live a life where everything you give, you're going to get back for, but what happens when you don't have? When you don't have the ability to give, now what? Now you're stuck. And therefore, he writes, we have a second way in which we can live life, a second attitude, a second perspective, and that is when we have an absolute trust in the owner of the supermarket, when we have a belief that this person is a trustworthy individual, and we give them a large sum of money at the beginning of the quarter, the beginning of the year, and we say, here's $1,000. For the next 6 months, I can project this is how much money I'm going to spend in the store. So keep a cheshbon, keep a credit, and therefore, next time I'm running by the store and I don't have any money in my pocket, or if my business goes down, or if something happens and I don't get the raise I was expecting and I don't have the fluid cash that's necessary to buy the items, you can buy on credit. Why? Because you have a credit there. You gave $1,000. And he writes, that would be far more, although you don't have the immediate exchange, although you don't enjoy the fact that the item is coming right now. You gave $1,000 and you have nothing to show for it. But over time, that will be something that's much more valuable to the way you live life, because you have the ability to always buy on that credit. You have the ability to always cash in, even when life might not give you that opportunity. And he says, that is the same idea when it comes to our tefillah. And he explains, Adam ha-chaser emunah ba-Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person who lives life with a limited trust in the Ribono Shel Olam. Adam asher ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu eino neman be'enav, somebody who lives life thinking that God cannot be totally trusted. And we question, and we wonder, can we really trust him that he's going to come through for us? Mevakesh liros miyadit et tzotza'ah shel ha-tefillah. I want to see immediately. I want to see the results of my tefillah immediately. Because I don't trust you. So I say, I'm going to daven for this, I expect that. I'm going to pay for this in the supermarket, I expect to get the item. That's the way many people live life. Hum mevakesh lahakir b'chush. I want to see with my own eyes, ki hatfila nanas miyad, that my tefillah was answered immediately. Ain't suffik, there's no doubt, the derech zu pshuta hibiyoser, that is the easiest way of living life, and it's very fulfilling. Every time you ask for something, you get it. When you don't ask, you don't get. When you do ask, you do get immediately. However, he says, ula me'idach, at the same time that that's a wonderful way to live life, he says that comes along with a great disadvantage. Because, he said, hatfila kazu, if that's your attitude toward God, eina mo'ila ela l'shaita, number one, that only helps for the here and now. If you have enough money, you get what you want. If you don't have enough money to put in, you don't get it. And he says, ein b'koach l'hoel l'achazman. So what's going to happen in 6 months from now when you didn't get the raise that you wanted? What's going to happen when you don't have the credit with God that you thought you would have? What's going to happen when you're not in the same place in God's books that you were 6 months ago? Well, now he's going to say, well, you don't have money, you can't pay, so you don't get. And that's why he says there's a great chisaron, there's a great disadvantage of living life that way, of not having a complete trust in God, of only having a limited trust in Him, where everything is tit for tat. He says there's a great disadvantage to living like that. And he says, Ulam, Anu asher ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim anu. We who live life that we believe, and our parents believed, and our grandparents believed, and they had not a limited trust, but an absolute faith and a complete trust. V'yodim u'makir, man, we know with certainty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino meshev reikam shum tefila. We know that God does not neglect. He doesn't reject any of our tefilas. And everything that we put forth before Him is going to be accepted with sincerity. And at the time when it's necessary to be taken out of that investment, out of that bank, out of that credit that we've put it into, the Ribbono Shel Olam will exact, He will give it back when it's deserving. Vaday adiv lanu l'natzel es haderech hashnia, He said, for us, it is much more worthwhile to have a perspective of that second way of living life. Because we can always extract from that reservoir that we have made for ourselves, even when perhaps we might not be worthy many years down the line, or our children, or our grandchildren, or somewhere down the line, maybe they will need a schus that we were entitled to, but we put it in the reserve, we put it in the bank because we had a credit with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we trusted Him. And if you trust the owner of the store, you can say, I'll give you $1,000 at the beginning of the year, and I trust that you'll keep a cheshbon for me. It's a leap of faith, it's not easy. It's difficult to trust people, but if you really trust the Ribbono Shel Olam, you come out winning, because somewhere down the line, that tefillah will go to something which is a very important purpose. And he writes, imagine you would walk into a hospital and you see a person, a patient who is anemic. You see a person who's totally pale, unconscious, and you walk in, you start offering a tefillah. The minute you start davening, all of a sudden, they regain consciousness, they wake up. He says, of course, you would go back every day and you would visit every chola in the world and you would start doing this as a part of your routine of your day because you would see the immediate results. And he writes, as beautiful as that is, the challenge is that we don't have that. We don't have that ability because we are expected to live life with not a limited trust in God where everything is just tit for tat, but rather with that much greater understanding that we trust Him and we can give something on credit and we believe that He will take that credit later on when it is relevant and when it is most necessary and when perhaps somebody might be in great need. So he says, yes, we get up every day and we say, Uvenei Yerushalayim, and we ask to rebuild Yerushalayim, and we look years and years and years and generations and decades, and we wonder, Yerushalayim still not built. How many times can I ask for this? How many times can I ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Uvenei Yerushalayim? And you start to think, come on, I'm going to keep on asking, what am I going to do with this tefillah? And the answer is, well, what is that tefillah going to do? Perhaps, Uvenei Yerushalayim, maybe it will happen in a generation that might not be ours, but it will happen to our children, it will happen to our grandchildren, and God will say, that tefillah that was given so many millennia ago, that tefillah that was offered with sincerity so many generations ago, is something that I'm keeping on credit, and you can trust me that I will give it back at the time when it is relevant, and when perhaps there's a generation that is not worthy or not deserving, but they can go back and trace back to that tefillah and say, God, you owe it to us because of the tefillah that was offered. So, as I mentioned, I was recently having a difficulty with this issue because I was dealing with somebody who was at the very end of life, and tefillah for me was an issue. How do you deal with it, and what exactly does it mean? And I saw the other day a mashal of the Chafetz Chaim, which gave me a very different perspective. It's a beautiful mashal, and he says the following. It's in the Sefer Shem Olam. He says, imagine you have an oreach sheba lebeis hamedrash. You have somebody who comes to a shtibel one time, first time in his life ever walking into the shtibel. He's never been there before. V'ra'a, and he sees, he notices, shehagabai mechalek alios lekoein ulelevi min hamizrach. He sees the gabai by Kriyas HaTorah, walks to the front of the shul, and he says, you're going to have Kohen and you're going to have Levi. L'shlishi min adarim. Then he walks to the south side of the shul. He says, well, you over there in the corner, you're going to have Shlishi, and you over there in the west is going to have Revi. And he splits up all the aliyahs. He's walking up and down the aisles and giving them out in a very disorganized manner, and he's wondering, this guest is saying, Vitama alav yomer, he's saying to himself, why have you chosen this one from the front, and that one from the back, and this from the side, and this from the other side? You're walking up and down the aisles. Wouldn't it be easier if you just went to the front row and said, the first seven people get the aliyahs this week, the next seven people get the aliyahs the next week, and you go in an organized fashion, and this way everybody has a fair chance of getting an aliyah. What are you doing, walking around the shul and splitting it up so arbitrarily? So he finally presents the question to the gabbai, and he says, I don't understand why you're making your life so difficult. Heishiv pikeach echad, he says, the gabbai responds to him, and he says, Ha'oreach ba'al Shabbos achas. This is the first time you're entering our shul. You know nothing about the community. You know nothing about the history. You don't know anything about the personalities involved. You don't know anything about our shul, about what happens here. And he says, V'urotza leida teretz al-kol ha'kushya she'yeshlo. You walk in for one Shabbos and you think you're going to understand the dynamics of a shul? You know how complicated people are? So you don't know that this one has yahrzeit and that one had a baby and he's making a shev brachos and they're making a bar mitzvah. And 2 weeks ago it was in the reverse. Somebody else in the back had a simcha and someone else had yahrzeit. So we keep a system, but you got to be here for a year, for many years, to understand the dynamics of how a shul runs. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, you come for one Shabbos and you expect to understand everything just by noticing the way the gabbai is splitting everything up. You can't have an understanding just by looking at one time the way everything is done. You have to be here for a long period of time to appreciate the way the shul runs and the way everything is divvied up and the way everybody has a fair chance. It's not something that can be understood in just a one-time session. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, Kainu mamish hadavar hazeh, this is the way it works as well. Ha'adam ba lepo al regaim achadim. We come to this world for a very insignificant amount of time. To us it might feel significant, but in the lifespan of the Ribono Shel Olam Kaviyachol, it's nothing. What are we here? 70 years, 80 years, if we're lucky, 90, 100 years. What's the maximum a person is going to be here? Not long enough to have a deep understanding of why is this person rich and why is that person poor and why is this one getting sick and why is that one not having a refuah and why was he laid off of the job and why is she not having a shidduch? So you come to the Ribono Shel Olam and you ask him, how is it fair? I don't understand. I came here, I'm looking around the world, I'm observing, and I can't understand. This is so disorganized, it's so arbitrary. I can't understand why this person is suffering, why that person's having a great life, why he seems to be a tzaddik and she seems to be a rasha, and everything is so much pandemonium, the way we watch the world running. It doesn't really make sense to us. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, that's almost as silly as the person who walks into shul for one time, the first time they've ever been there, and they expect to understand all the dynamics of the community without ever being there for an extended period of time. Because we don't have that expansive perspective of what the world is. We only have the opportunity to experience life in a very limited fashion. Like that person who's visiting the shtiebel for the first time, next week he'll be somewhere else, and he'll have the same questions on that shul, and he'll travel somewhere else, have the same problems. He says we have a hard enough time even trying to identify what am I supposed to be doing in this world, let alone why is God doing that to somebody else. First try to figure out what you're doing and what your job is. And he says very often we have a difficult time with that. Alma bala sakinata, what am I here for? What does God expect me to do in my time in this world? And therefore, in lanu lachar achar hanagaso shamelech malchei amlachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would be almost nonsensical for a person to sit and live life trying to expect to have a complete understanding of everything that they're observing going on around them. Yes, there might be tragedies and there might be things that are difficult and there might be experiences through our lives that we wonder about and we have a very difficult time trying to absorb and trying to really fully appreciate and understand. But at the same time, the Ribono Shel Olam looks at us and he says, are you any less than that achsanoy? Are you any less than that guest, than that visitor who's come for the first time and expects to have a deep and complete understanding of everything that goes on in this shul, in this shtiebel, when in fact it takes years to really understand the culture of a people or the personalities and the dynamics that are involved in making this run. V'az bevada, he says, if a person lives this way, where you have the opportunity to have that complete trust, like we said, not the limited perspective that, oh, tit for tat, I walk into the supermarket, I give money, I get the item. That's not the way our emuna is supposed to work. That's not the way our trust is meant to be designed. We're supposed to have that ability to say, I can put money in on credit. I can give the balabas $1,000 and say, look, over the next quarter, this is what I'm going to spend, and I trust that you're going to keep an account very honestly and very meticulously for everything that I'm owed and everything that I've given. If you live a life like that, writes the Chafetz Chaim, as bevada yizke liris de basov, then in the end, one will certainly see be'elu advarim gufa, Shehaya hakol rav tuv v'chesed. person will come to that deep understanding at some point in history that yes, as much as the world looked complicated, as much as so many things to us looked so arbitrary and so uncomfortable, and we had a difficult time maybe absorbing them and really appreciating what they were all about, we can say yes. We look back in retrospect and we can have an appreciation that yes, there was a person, there was a being who was in charge of all of this. There was somebody who was achray, there was somebody who took responsibility, somebody who we trusted, and someone who we can always trust, that was taking a very detailed account of everything that was going on in the world, in the lives that we lived. And that's what the Dubna Magid really writes on our parsha. Hamachasa ani me'Avram asher ani oseh. Shouldn't I give Avram Avinu the opportunity to offer a tefillah, although I'm going to destroy Sodom regardless? His tefillah is going to do nothing for the story that's happening right now. But hayo yeh l'goy gadol, there's going to come a time that he's going to be a great people, a great nation. And his children and his grandchildren are going to use these tefillahs for themselves. When it's appropriate and when it's relevant, Avraham Avinu trusted that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to save all those tefillahs. Ein tefillas hachozeres reikam. A person offers a tefillah, that will never go unanswered. That will never go just being ignored. That will never be something that is overlooked. And the Ribbono Shel Olam always keeps a very detailed account of every mitzvah, every chesed, every ma'asim tovim that we are involved in throughout the duration of our very complicated lives.